Good morning again. My name is Barry Levy. I'm an adjunct professor at Tufts University School of Medicine and an independent consultant. I have no conflicts of interest on the presentation I'm about to make. I had originally planned to present a paper at this session by Dr. Seidel and myself on national and international progress in reducing social injustice. But in light of the global economic crisis, we changed the focus and title of the presentation to the one shown on the screen, The Adverse Impacts of the Global Economic Crisis on Public Health. While the current economic crisis may not get as bad as the Great Depression of the 1930s, it is relevant to note the serious public health problems it caused. The back issues of the American Journal of Public Health, which by the way are available online, provide useful information. Articles in the American Journal of Public Health in the 1930s indicated that hospitals throughout the United States at that time were filled with patients whose primary illness was lack of food. In New York City, the Department of Public Health found that 20% of children were undernourished. And in a coal mining area in the United States, 99% of school children were found to be underweight, as reported in the American Journal of Public Health. Many families at that time were forced to crowd into small houses and apartments to share costs, and many others, of course, were homeless. In Chicago in 1931, for example, several hundred homeless women slept in city parks. And homeless people across the nation lived in shelters they built from empty boxes and pieces of metal. During the same period, most public health departments had their budgets cut severely, and programs and services were curtailed quite a bit or completely eliminated. The current global economic crisis is the worst since the Great Depression. More than 1 million families have had their homes foreclosed in the past 2 years, and many more will be. Displaced families have often been moved into overcrowded and substandard housing, and many have become homeless. Millions of workers are out of work or employed in jobs far below their capabilities and usual pay, and some economists predict that the unemployment rate will rise to 10% or higher. As workers lose their jobs, they and their families lose or can no longer afford health insurance and cannot afford medical and dental care or prescription drugs. Many will have to choose between buying food or heating their homes and buying necessary medicines. In addition, many retired people living off the interest of their much smaller nest eggs will face the same difficult choices. Meanwhile, state and local governments are slashing their budgets and curtailing or totally eliminating public health programs and services, as occurred during the Great Depression. And the federal government will likely do the same. Let's hope they do not, as I'll say in a few moments. All people in all parts of the public and private sector will be affected as the economic crisis spreads and worsens. And Paul Krugman, the economist who recently was named to win the Nobel Prize in Economics, writes in today's New York Times that things continue to fall apart as the successive waves of, you might say, dominoes continue to fall as this economic crisis spreads and worsens. Less developed countries and their people, even those countries with relatively strong economies, like Brazil, for example, may be hurt the most. And things will likely get far worse before they get better. Public health, as many of you know, has been defined as what we as a society, really as a global society, do collectively to ensure the conditions in which people can be healthy. The global economic crisis will likely present the greatest challenges to public health in decades. And the following are 10 of these challenges that Dr. Seidel and I see, and what public health can do to address these challenges. Keep in mind as I go through these challenges, as Dr. Rosenstock has already alluded to, is that as the Chinese word for crisis indicates, it contains two symbols, danger and opportunity. And as she stated earlier, there are many opportunities within this crisis to improve and strengthen public health and indeed improve the health of the public. While there are great dangers for public health, also great opportunities to strengthen public health and the health of the public. The first of these 10 challenges, of course, is malnutrition. As people have less money to spend, they may eat less nutritious food in adequate amounts and thereby endanger their health. A particular concern are vulnerable populations, children, older people, pregnant women, or women who are breastfeeding their children, and those who are already malnourished. farmers and other workers in the agricultural sector may be adversely affected by the economic crisis, possibly leading to disastrous effects on the population, especially in countries with limited food reserves. Food pantries and soup kitchens in this country are operated by many charitable organizations and non-governmental organizations, and they are already overextended, strapped for funds, and they can only do so much in responding to the food aspects of this crisis. And the government's response thus far has been inadequate in terms of both domestic and international assistance. Leslie Mickelson, the final speaker in this session, will address these and other food and nutrition issues in much more detail. The second great challenge is homelessness and substandard living conditions. The economic crisis is increasing the number of homeless people and crowding many others into inadequate or substandard housing. It is uprooting families from their social support networks and increasing the risk thereby of infectious diseases, mental health problems, domestic and community violence, and making people prone, particularly those who are homeless, to adverse weather conditions. The third of these major challenges is unemployment and underemployment. There is a strong correlation between unemployment and many health outcomes that's been found over many, many years. Several factors account for this correlation, including relative poverty, social isolation of unemployed people, loss of self-esteem, and unhealthy behaviors. National unemployment rates, both in the United States and Canada, have been shown to correlate with overall mortality rates, cardiovascular disease mortality, and suicide. Unemployment people are more likely to visit physicians and be hospitalized and have more frequent and more severe illnesses. The next of the set of challenges involves substance abuse, depression, and other mental health problems. As the economic crisis continues and worsens, we're likely to see more alcoholism and drug abuse, more depression, and other mental health problems, including increasing rates of suicide, which markedly increased in other serious recessions and the Great Depression. During recessions also, rates of divorce increase, which may have an additional maybe an additional cause or indeed an effect of the mental health problems. The fifth area are chronic and infectious diseases, which are likely to increase due to a number of factors, including inadequate nutrition, substandard housing, and homelessness, a number of the factors I've already mentioned, substance abuse and mental health problems, and reduced financial support for public health and preventive medicine programs and services. It's interesting, though, if you go back to the issues of the American Journal of Public Health from the early 1930s, they often report the fact that they had not yet seen increases in infectious and chronic diseases, which may have been more a function of their inadequate surveillance systems at the time than the fact that those diseases indeed were not increasing. We suspect they really were. The next area, set of challenges, has to do with access and quality of medical and dental care. A number of factors as we go deeper into this recession or perhaps a depression will adversely affect availability, accessibility, and affordability of quality medical and dental care. More people, of course, will be uninsured, as I already said, as a result of loss of employment. And indeed, even those who are able to purchase COBRA insurance immediately after being unemployed will be paying much higher premiums than they had before. There's likely to be cuts in Medicaid and other government programs, cuts in the budgets of healthcare providers in both the public and private sector, and retirees on fixed incomes will be facing very difficult choices on how they spend their more limited funds. Domestic and community violence may likely increase. There may be really a perfect storm of factors accounting for what we will likely see as the economic crisis widens and worsens. Unemployment, frustration, desperation of people, and a continuing widespread availability of guns. Another set of issues of concern are wars and militarism. History teaches us that serious economic recessions and depressions are seedbeds for both international wars and civil wars. The continuing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan will continue to drain human and financial resources unless we take efforts to stop those wars. The next set of problems are environmental and occupational health problems that present additional challenges. There are indeed many issues here. They include the fact that the focus on the economic crisis may lead governments and industries to place less emphasis on environmental health, environmental protection, and such major issues as climate change. Low oil prices will likely reduce incentives for energy efficiency and energy alternatives. Workers and employers fearing the effects of the economic crisis will likely place less emphasis on hazardous exposures in the workplace and unsafe working conditions. And the 10th of these challenges, social injustice and violation of human rights, this economic crisis itself is a form or manifestation of social injustice. As Dr. Seidel and I have pointed out in our book, Social Injustice and Public Health, indeed, while one form of social injustice is focused on those people in society who are most vulnerable and are often most discriminated against, another form of social injustice is that form that affects all of us. And certainly the global economic crisis is indeed that form of, or an example of that form of social injustice. Indeed, there's likely to be greater discrimination against people of color, immigrants, and other minorities, and violation of their human rights, but also this form of social injustice is affecting us all. I earlier said that in addition to all these challenges and the dangers within these challenges, there are opportunities. I'm not going to try to mention all of them, but clearly it's an opportunity, as Dr. Rosenstock already indicated, to demonstrate the importance of public health. Indeed, our national security in many ways is dependent on public health, both what we do here at home and elsewhere in the, to support efforts elsewhere in the world. It may lead to people to recognize that indeed we need a national health program with universal access. And it may lead our government leaders to recognize the fact that even in the best of times in this last decade, there's a large percentage of people in this country who have been suffering greatly and will suffer much more. And we need to make sure that we ensure their basic human rights, including adequate food, shelter, and health care, really for everybody in the United States, whether they're citizens or others here supporting our way of life and sharing the challenges that we face in this country. In difficult economic times as these, financial and administrative support is often inadvisedly cut for the public health programs and services most necessary to address human needs. We in public health need to advocate for maintaining and indeed strengthening public health services and programs at this time of great need. We need to promote surveillance and documentation of human needs at this time of crisis and promote reassessment of public health and indeed more broadly national priorities. A second thing we need to do is to educate the public and policymakers and to advocate for sound policies and programs. And third, we need to directly provide necessary programs and services and indeed evaluate their effectiveness. All this will require our creative thinking to develop new ways to address new problems, our engaging and the active input and participation by people and organizations in the communities we serve, and working in partnership across disciplines and societal sectors to promote and support public health. We need as a nation to place less emphasis on preparedness against the theoretical possibility of bioterrorist attacks, as Dr. Seidel just said, and place much more emphasis on real needs and preparation and preparedness for what could become a public health catastrophe. New leadership in Washington may raise hopes of our working as a nation to effectively address these problems and their underlying causes, but there's no guarantee that this will happen without our active participation. Organizations that focus on public health, social justice, and human rights need to play vital roles in addressing the human consequences of the global economic crisis. And APHA can help address these issues, such as having special meetings and internet forums, facilitating communication, supporting systematic analyses of these problems and challenges, establishing a task force to review and make recommendations, and to develop policies. Speaking at the APHA meeting 76 years ago in 1932, the outgoing APHA president, Lewis Dublin, said, "Ours is the great opportunity. When all the world is sick, when business falters and councils waver, we at least know what to do. Let us be equal to the occasion. Let us maintain our high purpose to keep the public well against all odds. Our effort will help the nations weather the storm. I hope it may also show those in high places how other public health, public services may best be conducted in a democratic government." I too believe that now more than ever, we all need to work together to achieve the goal of public health, to ensure the conditions in which people can be healthy. Thank you very much. I'll take the prerogative of taking one question or comment. If not given the time, I'm going to now introduce the next speaker. The next speaker is Dr. Daniel Sussat. Dr. Sussat.